وقل رب زدني علما.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. إن شاء الله تعالى we have the class from the book بلوغ المرام للحافظ ابن حجر رحمه الله تعالى، الكتاب الثالث كتاب الجنائز، book number 3 the book of funerals. Inshallah, we start from Hadith 433. Hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal, nafsu al-mu'min mu'allaqatun bidayni hatta yughda anhu, rawahu Ahmadu wa al-Tirmidhiyu wa hassanahu. Narrated Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a believer's soul is attached to his debt till it is paid, on his behalf. Reported by Ahmad and Tirmidhi, who great Hassan. One of the brothers asked a question. What's the ruling of asking the people whenever a diseased person, the body is brought, either at the janazah prayer or the grave, was the rule of asking people, is there anyone who was, is there any debt on this person? Anyone, the person who died, owe him something? What's the rule of asking that question? The answer is, inshallah, is in this hadith. Hadith collected by Imam Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith collected by Imam Bukhari, hadith Abi Salim, and Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yu'ta bil rajul al mutawaffa alayhi, kana yu'ta bil rajul al mutawaffa alayhi ad-daynu, kana yu'ta bil rajul al mutawaffa عليه الدين فيسأل هل ترك لدينه فضلا، هل ترك لدينه فضلا، فإن حدث أنه ترك لدينه وفاء صلى، وإلا قال للمسلمين صلوا على صاحبكم، فلما فتح الله عليه الفتوح قال أنا أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم، فمن توفي من المؤمنين فترك دينا فعلي قضاؤه، وما ترك مالا فلورثته. This hadith narrated Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, whenever a dead man in debt was brought to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say, has he left anything to repay his debt? Whenever a dead man in debt was brought to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would ask, has he left anything to repay his debt? If he was informed that he had left something to repay his debt, he would offer his funeral prayer. Otherwise, he would tell the Muslims to offer their friend's funeral prayer. When Allah made the Prophet ﷺ wealthy, he said, through conquests, he said, I am more rightful than other believers to be the guardian of the believers. So if a Muslim dies while in debt, I am responsible for the repayment of his debt. And whoever leaves wealth means after his death, it will belong to his heirs. It will belong to his heirs, to his inheritors. So when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ask people the question related to the debt, When did he used to ask? Whoever, who of us remember the hadith? Prophet ﷺ, he used to ask questions about the dead. When the funeral is brought, when did he used to ask the question? Yes? Before making the janazah prayer. Okay, let me repeat the hadith. Just at the wording, محل شاهد. كان يؤتى بالرجل المتوفى عليه الدين. كان يؤتى بالرجل المتوفى عليه الدين. Whenever a dead man in debt was brought to Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would ask, هل ترك لدينه فضلا؟ Has he left anything to repay his debt? Has he left anything to repay his debt? Now, when the Prophet used to ask the question about the debt, طيب طيب أحسنت نعم أبو عبد العالي أبو دليل أحسنت Prophet he used to ask the question about the debt if the man is bought and there's debt on him يؤتى بالرجل المتوفى عليه الدين. The question comes when Prophet he knows there is debt in the man. And he what he used to ask. Did he Sallallahu used to ask, is there anyone who has debt in this man or anyone who this man owe him anything? Or he used to ask, did he left something to repay his debt? He used to ask, did he left something to repay his debt? Not is there anyone who this person owe him a money? Is this understandable? So the question was not, is there anyone, that's what they're doing today. Anyone who has debt on this man, anyone who he borrowed money from this dead Muslim, they ask. That was not what the Prophet used to ask. The Prophet used to ask when he come to know there's debt in the man. And he used to ask, did he left anything to repay his debt? هذا الكلام مفهوم. الشيخ عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى was asked and other مشايخ also is the origin is to there is no debt on the person. The origin is that this Muslim, this person who you brought was brought to you as someone praying janazah on him by Muslim, that he is a Muslim. So you don't ask was he Muslim? You don't ask was he praying? You don't ask, was there debt on him? These questions are not the origin. Naam. This is not the origin. You don't go after the Muslim. The origin is free. So if someone comes to you and tell you he owe him, now yes. Did he left anything to repay? Other than that, the origin is to bury the Muslim. Is the question clear? Barakallahu fiik. So there's a difference between the imam to come to know that someone who died, there's debt in him. Now he need to make sure for the to be kind to the person. Is there anyone who take care of his debt or did he left any money to repay it or anything? Naam. No, after he died. Rajul mutawaffa. Prophet was brought to a dead man. The hadith says, when a dead man, that means he's alive? He's died. He's dead already. When a dead man in debt, was brought to Allah's Messenger, he would ask, has he left anything to repay his debt? So Prophet means he knows that man, there's debt on him. So the question is, not people owe, people forgive his debt. That's not even the question. Anyone who has debt of this man, let him pay. He was just saying so. What he was saying is, did the man left anything to repay his debt? If they say yes, he used to pray. If they say no, he used to leave and say, pray on your companion, your friend. So he used to command the rest to pray on him because he's a Muslim. Why he didn't pray? To discipline the living ones. Disciplining for the living ones so they don't take light to borrow people's property and not to pay it back. So the ulama, they say the same thing the imam or who lead the janazah prayer can do the same. If you come to know someone, there is that, he can. As for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some scholars said that rule was abrogated. That rule was abrogated, meaning that was when Prophet sallam, he was not able. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the Prophet sallam, the gates of futuhat and capturing and conquest, he after that sallam, he used to, if he come to know someone has debt, he used to pay sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on behalf of the person. And if he leave something, used to be for his inheritors. If there is a debt, person is paying off. If there is no debt, the man left something, it's for his family. It's for his family. So if there is a Muslim ruler who pay on behalf of the dead, alhamdulillah, khair. If not, it's on him. The origin is on the dead. If he didn't leave anything behind, who should pay that debt on behalf of him? It's those who would have inherited. Those who would have inherited, if he would have left on them to repay. Naam. His son, his daughter, and the like should pay on behalf of him. If there is nothing, he didn't leave anything behind. And if there is any other Muslim who voluntarily, then alhamdulillah, that's different. Al-Muhim. So the point is, the origin is not any Muslim who die. The one leading janazah prayer to say to the people, is there anyone who has debt on him? Is there anyone? No, the origin is the man is free. But if he come to know, then he ask, did he left anything to prepay? If yes, then he pray janazah. If not, he has right to say, I'm not praying on him, to discipline the living, and he can pray on him as well. Naam. When there is maslaha. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما وعن ابن عباس question is a part of learning. Sahaba رضوان الله تعالى عليهم, they learn the religion through learning and through questioning. So you may not be able to take all the knowledge from class. Some of you will need through a question. You ask. When a question comes, you ask. طيب. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في الذي سقط عن راحلته فمات أغسلوه بماء وسدر وكفنوه في ثوبين متفق عليه. Narrated Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, concerning the man who fell down from his camel and died, he was making hajj. Concerning the man who fell down from his camel and died, wash him with water and lotus leaves. What's lotus leaves? And shroud him in his two garments. Wash him with water, yes, a cedar and lotus leaves, and shroud him in his two garments. Agree upon. So in this hadith, that a Muslim who died should be washed with water and this cedar, this type of tree, which it is leaves cleanest. It's like the soap. Ulama, they say anything takes the place of cedar. Anything cleaning, not necessarily the cedar. Because at the time, that's what used to clean the body well. It's good. And anything like that to be clean. Also, to use the al-kafan, شرارهن in his two garments. متفق عليه. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت لما أرادوا غسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قالوا والله ما ندري نجرد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كما نجرد موتانا أم لا. الحديث رواه أبو داود. حديث 435 نارل عائشة رضي الله عنها When the people intend to wash the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they said, By Allah, we do not know whether we should take off the clothes of Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم as we take off the clothes of our dead. Reported by Ahmad and Abu Dawood. So in this hadith, the Sahaba, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died, they wanted to wash him عليه الصلاة والسلام. They asked this question to themselves. This is something نازلة. It never happened before that. What should we do? We do not know whether we should take off the clothes of Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم as we take off the clothes of our dead. What should we do? What should we do? They asked this. The hadith goes that when the Prophet expired, the people were undecided about whether or not to undress him, means to perform the ritual bathing of the dead body. Suddenly, the people were overwhelmed by a feeling of drowsiness. An unknown voice from one of the corners of the house was heard saying that his body shouldn't be undressed. From hence, the instruction was duly complied with and the ritual bathing was done accordingly. So, when the Sahab asked this question, what should we do? How do we wash the Prophet ﷺ? We should wash him, alayhi salatu wasalam, but do we take off the clothes from him as we do to our dead? Then they overslept. And then they heard a voice saying, wash him with his clothes, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's what happened. وعن أم عطية رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت دخل علينا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن نغسل ابنته أي زينب فقال اغسلنها ثلاثا أو خمسا أو أكثر من ذلك إن رأيتن ذلك بماء وسدر واجعلنا في الأخيرة كافورا أو شيئا من كافور فلما فرغنا آذناه فألقى إلينا حفوه حقوه نعم فألقى إلينا حقوه فقال أشعرنها إياه أشعرنها إياه متفق عليه في رواية ابدأنا بميامنها ومواضع الوضوء منها مجرور أم منصوب نعم ومواضع الوضوء نعم ومواضع سنام ممنوع من صرف مواضع على وزن مفاعل مساجد نعم لأن هذا مضاف فالممنوع من الصرف يصرف عند الإضافة وإذا دخلت عليه الألف واللام وماذا؟ أي نعم طيب ومواضع الوضوء منها وفي اللفظ البخاري فضفرنا شعرها ثلاثة قرون فألقيناها خلفها نارل أم عائشة this hadith 436 نارل أم عطية رضي الله عنها the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came أم عطية she used to wash the dead of the woman the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came in when we were washing his daughter meaning Zainab and said wash her with water and let's leave it three or five times or more than that if you see fit. And put kafur, like perfume or some kafur in the last washing. When we had finished, it's not perfume. What's kafur? Similar to perfume. Strong, yes, sin. It's like, na'am, something is smelling nice. It's like the position of the perfume. When we had finished, we informed him, and he threw us his lower garment, saying, put it next to, means directly upon, her body. He threw us his lower garment, saying, put it next to, means directly upon her body. Agree upon. And another narration began with her right side and the places of the ablution, the place of wudu. In a narration of Al-Bukhari, we braided her hair in three plaits and placed them behind her back. In this hadith, the permissibility that it should be, the dead should be washed at least three or five or more if it is needed, but it should be at number 3, 5, 7 and the like. In ra'aytunna dhalik, if you see that's what fits, because some people, they may need more washing. They may need more washing because of what's coming out of the body. There may be need to wash more than three. And then also to make the last of the washing with kafur, with a perfume, something smelly nice. When they did that, they washed the body of the daughter of Prophet Zainab. They tell the messenger, they inform him. They say, oh, the messenger of Allah, they say, well, they finish washing. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave them his lower garment. And he told them to put it on her, to put next to, meaning directed upon her body. What's the point of that? What's the point of that? Why Prophet ﷺ gave his lower garment? His lower garment is like what? Lower, not necessarily lower. Lower is the cloth connected to the Prophet ﷺ. It can be under cloth. It can be the shirt, the one under the shirt is a cloth connected to the Prophet's body, ﷺ. It's not underwear. Yes. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them to put on her. So that's connected to her body. What's the point? Barakah is a blessing. Is a blessing. Prophet sallam was a blessing, alayhi salatu wa sallam. Yes, he's wearing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his body, his hair, all was blessing. Even his staff, his utility was blessing. His sword was a blessing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his stick. That was only for the messengers of Allah. That was not the case of Abu Bakr and Umar and Ali and others, let alone the rest. So the Prophet was alayhi wa sallam barak. If we remember, even when he was about to die and he couldn't move his hand, Aisha ibn Mu'min radiallahu anha, she was reciting the three mu'awadat, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدٌ قُلْ عَوْدُ بِالْفَلَقِ قُلْ عَوْدُ بِالنَّاسِ, on the hand of the Prophet. And she, why went it over his body, seeking the blessings of his own hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tayyib. So the Prophet, he told them to do that, and they did it. In another narration, to start washing from the right side and the places of the wudu. And also that they braided her hair into three and throw it from behind her back. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كفن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في ثلاثة أثواب بيض سحولية من كرسف ليس فيها قميص ولا إمامة. متفق عليه. ناري عائشة رضي الله عنها, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was shrouded in three pieces of white karun, sabuliyya, sahuliyya, What is Sahulia? Okay, it's a name of a city in Yemen. It clarifies that. No. It was not. No, yes. Sahul is the name of a village in Yemen. And this fabric is from there. Yes, Sahul is the name of a city. And Sahulia is the fabric, is the cloth from there. So Prophet was shrouded with these three white pieces of cotton Sahulia cloth, among which was neither a shirt nor imama, a turban. Meaning it was just a piece of cloth. Was not made for mada, for the body. It's just a big garment covering it, another one. نعم three white. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال لما توفي عبد الله بن أبي جاء ابنه إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أعطني قميصك أكفنه فيه فأعطاه إياه متفق عليه. نال ابن عمر رضي الله عنه when Allah when عبد الله بن أبي is a big hypocrite die his son عبد الله come to Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and said His son. He's Abdullah ibn Abdullah, yes. So his name is Abdullah the believer, and his father is the Munafiq, he is also Abdullah. So his son said to the Prophet, O the Messenger of Allah, give me your shirt to shroud him in it. Give me your shirt. To shroud him in it. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to him, agree upon. Subhanallah. The enemy of the Prophet sallam died. The greatest munafiq who spread the qissatul ifk and all this corruption. And when he died, his son, Abdullah, who was a true believer, he asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give him his shirt. So it can be as barakah for his dead. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did that. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the beginning of Islam, he used to welcome, he used to make dua even for the munafiqeen, for the hypocrite, until Allah forbade that. استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم إن تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم ولا تصلي على أحد منهم مات أبدا ولا تقم على قبره. So Prophet وسلم he did that for the because of the caring about the heart of the son of Abdullah the believer. عليه الصلاة والسلام. Does that benefit the hypocrite? It doesn't benefit anything. The only disbeliever, the shafa'ah of the Messenger of Allah benefit is Abu Talib. Abu Talib, who will be the lowest part of hellfire comparing to the disbeliever's punishment, wal'iyadu billah. Even though he believes he to be the one who is punished the worst. والعياذ بالله أبو طالب but he's not the worst from the disbelievers because of the shafa'a intercession of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. المهم Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he considered the Sahabi who asked that and other حكمة. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ألبسوا من ثيابكم البيضاء فإنها من خير ثيابكم وكفنوا فيها موتاكم رواه الخمسة إلا النسائي وصححه الترمذي. نال ابن عباس رضي الله عنه the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said wear your white garments for they are among you best garment and shroud your dead in them reported by الخمسة the five النسائي الترمذي is صحيح الترمذي. In this hadith that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the hadith authentic لجني نو بارك الله فيك وياسر في الحديث هذا وتنتهي عند الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله. سو انت عاد عند حديث that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم طيب لجني نو ضروري. وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كفن أحدكم أخاه فليحسن كفنه رواه مسلم. narrated جابر may Allah be pleased with him Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said when one of you shrouds his brother he should use a good shroud, when one of you shrouds his brother he should use a good shroud, his good kafan, so to be nice to the Muslim you use a good shroud, good kafan for him, and also good water, good place. وعنه رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجمع بين الرجلين من قتلى أحد في ثوب واحد ثم يقول أيهم أكثر أخذا للقرآن فيقدمهم في اللحد ولم يغسلوا ولم يصلى عليهم رواه البخاري. narrated جابر may Allah be pleased with him the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had each وياسر you can put when you mention the part of the hadith you can put الدرر السنية you can do that Sheikh Alban ruling is not taking it Sheikh Alban ruling will come to you most likely you mention a part of the hadith and then you put الدرر السنية هذا اللي رأيته كثير ما يذكر حكم الشيخ الألباني البس نعم هذا ثقاب هذا ليس هو الضال هذا ما أظن هذا ما أظن هذا يأتي بالشيخ الألباني تصحيحه وأحكامه هذا عدو للشيخ الألباني ثقافة هذا صوفي أبدا ما أظن والله أعلم ذكر حكمه أيوة خلاصة خلاصة لم يروي هذا الحديث عنه إلا الوليد تفرد به من قال هذا المعجم ليس هذا حكم الشيخ الألباني طيب أحسنت بارك طيب هو في سعي أبي داود لأن أصلاً دي حديث طيب الظاهر أنه أجزي الله ونعم الوكيل طيب شغل بان وصاسك ديس حديث يسيركو كلها صحيح حديث سمرة وحديث من عباس نعم شغل ابن باز يعني شغل ابن باز صححه ورحمه الله نعم وأيضا الشيخ الألباني ألبسوا من ثيابكم البياض فإن من خير ثيابكم كفنوا فيها موتاكم وإن خير أكحالكم الإثم جل البصر يجل البصر وينبت الشعر الراوي عبد الله بن عباس المحدث الألباني صحيح أبي داود نعم وإن this hadith is authentic المهم so the hadith shows that the white cloth is loved, is preferred. Naam, Prophet ﷺ used to like it. But also Prophet ﷺ, he dressed a different color. Sahih al-Jami. أحسنت بارك الله فيك. طيب سود حديث أوثنتيك وعن نعم والسيودي صححه أيضا. أحسنت والترمذي أيضا. ما شاء الله، كم شيخ، كم عالم محدث أثبت الحديث. طيب وعنه رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجمع بين الرجلين من قتلى أحد في ثوب واحد ثم يقول أيهم أكثر أخذا للقرآن فيقدمهم في اللحد ولم يغسلوا ولم يصلى عليهم. حديث 441 ناري لجابر. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had each pair of those killed at Uhud wrapped in a single garment. The Prophet ﷺ had each pair of those killed at Uhud, the battle of Uhud, wrapped in a single garment. He then asked, which of them knew more of the Quran? Then he would have put first in the niche inside of the grave. They were neither washed nor prayed upon, reported by Al-Bukhari. In this hadith, Prophet ﷺ, than the day of the battle of Uhud, which there were 70 companions who were killed. Muslims went through a lot of hardship. Instead of making a grave for each Sahabi, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to bury each two in one grave. And he used to put first the one who memorized more Quran. أيهم أكثر أخذا للقرآن وفي رواية أحفظ للقرآن. The one who memorized more Quran first. Then those two were being put in the same grave. And as the people of knowledge said, doesn't mean their body was touching. No, there was something between it, either a wood or something. So, but because of the necessity of the graves, and you know, even Uhud is almost a rock area. It's not easy to dig a grave. With the also the shortage of the cloth, each two were using one piece of cloth. Subhanallah. The Mus'ab ibn Umair, the one who called people to Islam in Medina, and the Ansar entered Islam by him after Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the one who the Prophet sent to Medina before Prophet migrated to Medina. They didn't find something to bury him, clothes. He had a small piece of cloth. If they put him on his head, then his lower part should become uncovered. If they put lower, so they put him in the middle, and then they put the rest on something else. Subhanallah. That's how the Muslims suffer at the beginning. No enough clothes, no enough food, fear. Simply because they said La ilaha illallah and they want to share others with La ilaha illallah. I call others La ilaha illallah. وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه, and also in the hadith that those shuhada, they were not washed nor were janazah prayer performed on them. And that is the ruling of everyone who lie in a battlefield, mujahid fi sabilillah. He's not washed, no janazah prayer on him, and no washing. وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا تغالوا في الكفن, لا تغالوا بضم التاء أو بفتحها, بضم التاء أو بفتحها لا تغالوا, نعم لا تغالوا أو لا تغالوا من الغلو, نعم بالضم التاء, أيوة النسخة التي عندي بفتحها بالضم, بارك الله فيك أبا محمد. So لا تغالوا, don't make تغالوا صح, لا صحيح تغالوا بفتح التاء, لا تغلوا في دينكم, لا تغلوا, غلا من يحسن الصرف. نعم، غالى يغالي. بالنمتة لا تغال. أيوة، يغالي بالدم، بالدم. طيب، لا تغالي مفرد، أو لا تغلو، هذا غير، هذا وزن فعل، ما هو أصل لا تغلو؟ أصل لا تغلو غلا، غلا يغلو، وهذا غالى يغالي، لا تغالي، لا تغال. نعم، المصدر غلو وغلاء. بارك الله فيكم، أحسنت. طيب، لا تغالوا، لا تغالوا، لا تغالوا، تو بالضم التاء، لا تغالوا في الكفن فإنه يسلب سريعا، رواه أبو داود. ناري العلم رضي عنه who said I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said do not be extravagant in shrouding for it will quickly decay, reported by Abu Dawood. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لها لو مت قبلي، لو مت، لو مت قبلي لغسلتك. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لها لو مت قبلي لغسلتك. الحديث رواه أحمد بن ماجه والصحابة بن حبان. ناري عائشة رضي الله عنها the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told her I would have washed you if you died before me. I would have washed you if you died before me. Reported by Ahmed and Ibn Majah and Ibn Hibban, greater is Sahih. The ulama, they say the origin is the man wash a man, woman wash a woman. But the husband can wash his wife and the woman can wash her father, her husband. That's the ruling. So here the Prophet ﷺ said to Umm al-Mu'minin Aisha that if she would have died before him, he would have ﷺ washed her. نعم. وعن أسماء بنت عميس رضي الله تعالى عنها أن فاطمة رضي الله تعالى عنها أوصت أن يغسلها علي رضي الله تعالى عنه رواه الدارقطني. And from أسماء بنت أبي عميس رضي الله عنها that فاطمة the daughter of Prophet ﷺ willed that Ali رضي الله عنه should wash her dead body, reported by الدارقطني. So also Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet وسلم, she make this will that Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه her husband should wash her. وعن بريدة رضي الله تعالى عنه في قصة الغامدية التي أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم برجمها في الزنا قال ثم أمر بها فصلي عليها ودفنت، رواه مسلم. ناري البريدة رضي الله عنه concerning the woman of the tribe of Ghamidiyya that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded to be stoned because of fornication. He said he صلى الله عليه وسلم they gave command regarding stoning her then prayer over her or she was prayed over and buried, reported by Muslim. So this Sahabiya who commit this action but repented that she was Prophet he commanded to be stoned. And when she died, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed janazah on her and she was buried radiallahu ta'ala anha. وعن جابر بن سمرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال أتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم برجل قتل نفسه بمشاقص فلم يصلي عليه، رواه مسلم. narrated Jabir ibn Samura, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet sallam, he said, the dead body of a man who had killed himself with a browhead arrow was brought before the Prophet sallam, but he didn't offer prayer. He didn't offer prayer on him. He says here that there is a difference of opinion among scholars about the funeral prayer of the one who has died as a result of committing suicide. The majority among them agree that such a person's funeral prayer must be offered. Qadi Ayad has transmitted from a certain source that all the scholars agree on funeral prayers of such a person who have been either punished or stoned to death. As a Sharia ruling, the one is having committed suicide and illegitimate children born out of wedlock, the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't attend some of the funeral prayers, but used to instruct people to attend them. So, Prophet ﷺ didn't pray on this man who killed himself. The ulama, they say, is also to discipline people. Just like as he walked away, ﷺ, when he was mentioned, there is death on the man, and he didn't leave anything. He said, pray on your sahib. That was to discipline the people. They don't commit this crime. The same this sin. The same sin, the man who killed himself, Prophet didn't pray on him. Which means the rest of the Muslims, they pray on him. Because that action is a sin. It's ma'asiyah. Wal'iyadu billah. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه في قصة المرأة التي كانت تقوم المسجد قال فسأل عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالوا ماتت فقال أفلا كنتم آذنتموني فكأنهم صغروا أمرها فقال دلوني على قبرها فدلوه فصلى عليها متفق عليه. We conclude with this one inshallah. Narrated Abu Huraira regarding the story of a woman who used to sweep the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ asked about her, and then the companion told him she had died. He ﷺ then said, why didn't you inform me? And it appeared as if they had considered her as of little importance. He ﷺ said, show me her grave. And when they die, or when they did so, he prayed, meaning on her. In this hadith, this sahabiya who used to clean the masjid, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she died night time. And the sunnah is if someone died to bury, not to wait. So the Sahaba, when this female died in the middle of the night, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they didn't want to burden on the Prophet sallam. And they didn't see her being so significant, like those great Sahaba who Prophet used to consult with them, or they were the Sahaba, all of them are companions, but they are not the same status. Yes. Yes, so they didn't see she fits the Prophet to be wake up for her because this is night time. But the Prophet, when he didn't find, he asked, where is so-and-so? He, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, he know the people. Even those who don't come to the jama'ah, he used to know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salawatullah. Where is so-and-so? If you go a bar expedition, he used to ask, where is so-and-so? He used to find out who is not there. Salawatullah wa salam alayhi. So, right there in the morning, he asked, where is so-and-so? They say, oh, she died last night. She died and we buried her. He said, someone said, why didn't you tell me? Then he said, show me her grave. Then they show him alayhi salam, and he offered the janazah prayer on her on the grave. And this is the proof that janazah prayer can be performed in the grave when there is a need. The origin is outside the masjid, not inside the masjid. But yes, also the janazah prayer can be performed inside the masjid. Yes, inside a Muslim, Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked people to bring the dead inside the masjid so she can pray. They say, how we pray janazah prayer inside the masjid? She said, how people fast, people forget so fast. Prophet, he didn't pray so and so, except inside the masjid. She reminded them. There was two She reminded him that so and so, people, they know him. Plus he prayed inside the masjid. So it's, yes, it's legislated to pray janazah inside the masjid, but the origin is outside. Also, if the janazah prayer, someone didn't perform, yes, it's legislated to pray on the grave, janazah prayer, not the normal salah. Also in this hadith, how Prophet Sallam honor this female who used to clean the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. In a way, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked, where is her grave? Where is her grave? And when they show her, you pray on it. You make a special dua for her. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.